I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemy. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me.
And I raise a hallelujah
in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me.
Now I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm, louder and louder. You're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive.
I raise a hallelujah
with
everything inside of me. I raise a hallelujah. I will watch the darkness flee. I raise a hallelujah in the middle of the mystery. I raise a hallelujah. Fear you lost your hold on me.
And I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm, louder and louder. You're gonna hear my praises roar. Hallelujah.
Up from the ashes,
hope will arise. And death is defeated, the King is alive. Oh, and I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm, louder and louder. You're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive.
I raise a hallelujah. I raise a hallelujah. I raise a hallelujah.
Raise a hallelujah.
We raise a hallelujah. We raise a hallelujah. We raise a hallelujah.
Oh, we raise a hallelujah. Somebody raise your hands to the Lord. Just love Him for a moment. And we praise You, Father. Sing a little louder.
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 In the presence of my enemies.
Sing a little louder.
Louder than the unbelief.
Sing a little louder.
My weapon is a melody.
Oh, sing a little louder.
Heaven comes to fight for me.
Sing a little louder. In the presence.
In the presence of my enemy.
Oh, sing a little louder.
Louder than the unbelief.
Sing a little louder.
My weapon is a melody.
Oh, sing a little louder. Heaven comes to fight for me. And I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, a hope will arise. A death is defeated, the King is born. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated. The King is alive. Let's raise hallelujah.
I raise a hallelujah.
Yes, we do, Lord.
I raise a hallelujah.
We raise a hallelujah. Yes, I do, Lord. I raise a hallelujah. Come on, everybody together, we raise.
We raise a hallelujah.
We raise a hallelujah. We raise a hallelujah. We raise a hallelujah. We raise a amen, amen, amen. I'll give the Lord a good hand clap of praise. Come on, give him a shout this morning. Oh, I heard one person shouting. Come on, everybody, give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are overcomers when we shout. Victory comes when we shout. We need a victory shout. Turn to somebody and say, where's your shout today?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. For anyone who's ever seen the mountains of their sins just disappear. For anyone who's ever felt the hand of heaven reach down through their fear and dry their tears. For any life once empty now finds itself alive and full of songs, victory songs, then you'll understand the reason for the way the saints of God may carry on. So if I shout, no, I'm shouting from a heart that's been washed clean. If I run, no, I'm running from a past that's been redeemed. And to the world, it might look crazy. You're just no telling what you're gonna do. In that moment, Jesus gets a hold of you, yeah. For anyone who knows the hope that keeps them moving on through troubled days. For anyone who knows they've got a future and a hope beyond the grave.
Man.
Yeah. You know, every life's a different story. How he led us out of darkness into light. There's no way to keep me silent. Every breath's another chance to testify. Hallelujah. Oh, and if I shout, no, I'm shouting from a heart that's been washed clean. If I run, no, I'm running from a past that's been redeemed. To the world, it might look crazy. You just don't tell him what you're gonna do. In that moment, Jesus gets a hold of you. Oh, and if I shout, no, I'm shouting from a heart that's been washed clean. If I run, no, I'm running from a past that's been redeemed. To the world, it might look crazy. You just don't tell him what you're gonna do. In that moment, Jesus gets a hold of you. We'll do that second verse again. For anyone who knows the hope that keeps them moving on through troubled days. For anyone who knows they've got a future and a hope beyond the grave. You know, every life's a different story. How he led us out of darkness into light. Hallelujah. There's no way to keep us silent. Every breath, another chance to testify. Oh, and if I shout, no, I'm shouting from a heart that's been washed clean. If I run, no, I'm running from a past that's been redeemed. Oh, to the world, it might look crazy. Just no telling what you're gonna do. In that moment, Jesus gets a hold of me. Oh, and if I shout, no, I'm shouting from a heart that's been washed clean. If I run, no, I'm running from a past that's been redeemed. To the world, it might look crazy. Just no telling what you're gonna do. In that moment, Jesus gets a hold of you. So now carry on now, my brother. Carry on now, my sister. Oh, carry on now, my brother. Carry on now, my sister. Well, carry on now, my brother. Carry on now, my sister. Hallelujah. Carry on now, my brother. Carry on now, my sister. Now, if I shout, no, I'm shouting from a heart that's been washed clean. If I run, no, I'm running from a past that's been redeemed. To the world, it might look crazy. Just don't tell him what you're gonna do. In that moment, Jesus gets a hold of you. Gonna sing it one more time. If I shout, no, I'm shouting from a heart that's been washed clean. If I run, no, I'm running from a past that's been redeemed. To the world, it might look crazy. Just don't tell him what you're gonna do. In that moment, Jesus gets a hold of you. He gets a hold of you. He gets a hold of you. Gets a hold of you. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. Lord, we praise you this morning. Come on, give him another hand clap. Come on, just keep clapping to him just for a moment. Hallelujah. We praise you, God. We love you, Jesus. Somebody say, I love you, Jesus. We got a brand new song we want to try this morning. How many's been cleansed by the blood of Jesus? So how many's been cleansed by the blood of Jesus? Amen. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. We'll be taking communion later in the service. I thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. That washes away my sins.
Yes, thank you.
That covers all of my mistakes. Hallelujah.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
I thank God for the blood. We've been cleansed We've been washed. We're being sanctified. Somebody say, I'm being sanctified. If you're Holy Ghost filled, shout it, I'm Holy Ghost filled. Have you been baptized? Say, I'm water baptized.
Water baptized.
Somebody needs to preach that. I'm Holy Ghost filled.
Yes.
I'm water baptized. Somebody say that again. I'm Holy Ghost filled.
Holy Ghost filled.
I'm water.
Yes.
What? Baptized. Amen. Woo. Glory to God.
The altar where I run to rest, where I wait resurrection and the touch of your breath. I die now daily because I've learned to live in the grace that belongs to all who are born again. I am cleansed, I am washed, I am sanctified, I am whole.
Come on.
Now daily, because I've learned to rest in the grace that belongs to all who are born again. I am cleansed, I am washed, I am
Yeah.
am washed, I am sanctified, I am Holy Ghost filled, water baptized, I am right with my God for all time, 'cause Jesus
lift your hands to him. Just worship him. Worship you, God. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Sing it, honey.
Hold again.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
What?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow.
No.
Nothing but the blood,
hallelujah.
Nothing but the blood, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Oh, precious well.
Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Steve was getting confused. He didn't know what to do. Okay, all right, all right. Praise God. Ask your ushers to come right now. We'll receive our morning tithes and offerings. Amen. So, Brother Ricky. Amen. You just lost one. Lana stole him. Josh, will you help this morning? Praise God. Hallelujah. Turn to somebody close to you and tell them how pretty they are today.
Steve, where you at, man? So, thank you, sir. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this opportunity to come in your house, dear Lord. We thank you for your presence we know is always here, dear Lord. We just thank you for all the blessings you pour out on us, dear Lord, those that we don't even realize, dear Lord. We just ask you to put a special touch on Brother Gary and Brother Sammy, dear Lord, as they have to deal with the everyday problems of this church, dear Lord. We know that they are all under all kind of pressure all the time, dear Lord. We just ask you to lift them up, dear Lord. We just ask you to watch over us and protect us, dear Lord. We just ask you to forgive us of where we fail you and fall so short of your glory. In Jesus' precious name, we just ask you to take this offering and multiply it for your purpose. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. All creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. I will adore you, Lord. Clothed in rainbows of living color, flashes of lightning and rolls of thunder, a blessing and honor, strength and glory and power be to you, the only wise King. Yeah. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. I will adore you, Lord. Filled with wonder, awestruck wonder at the mention of your name.
Yes.
Jesus, your name is power, a breath and living water. Oh, such a marvelous mystery. Yeah. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. And you are my everything, and I will adore. Sing it out, everyone. Holy, holy, holy. All creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Oh yeah. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. And you are my everything, and I will adore you. No music, just for a minute. Holy, 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 sing it out. You're God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Sing it again. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Amen. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. Praise God. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
The first thing happened around, I think it was around March, we lost Patty's stepdad. May, I lost my sister, and this is the mother of my nephew that just got killed in a car wreck last night. So that whole family is devastated, with my oldest her oldest son is the only one left in that entire family. 3 years ago, I did his sister's funeral. So it's been a rough time. Patty's lost a first cousin, and it just seemed like it's one thing after the other. You know, we've lost ones in the church and stuff, so it's not been a real good year. But we know, you know, the ones that we have lost are in a better place, so that's the main thing.
Everybody touch Sammy, if you would.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just come to you, Lord God. We come to your throne boldly. We lift up this family, Brother Sammy's family, Lord God. You know the reasons for things, Lord. We cannot understand these things. But we know that you are the God, the creator of the universe, and you have our best intentions in hand, Lord God. There is a reason and a purpose for everything. So comfort these family members, Lord God. Just wrap your arms around them. Minister unto them. Strengthen them. Draw us all closer unto you, Lord. Bless their family. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Everybody says? Amen. Amen. Praise God. If I can I have somebody, Heather, I want you to come up and stand in place for Sister Heather Cole. Brother Cole's wife, Heather, is having surgery tomorrow, actually, tomorrow morning. They're going to do it tomorrow morning, he said. Full hysterectomy, and we need to be praying for her. She'll be coming off out of work for probably 6 weeks, and they will be back. They had to cancel the Crofton trip this week, so we're not going to Crofton. They will be there on the 24th, 25th, and 26th in Crofton. So we're going to try to go maybe on that Friday night. But they will be in Henderson beginning, or he will be beginning next Sunday. So we're going to try to take a group up to Henderson at least one night maybe and be with them up there. Amen. So we need to lay hands on Heather. She stands in place for Heather. Heather for Heather. Come up, Felicity and Donna, you, all the women, Melissa, you guys, any women that can, gather around real quick. Amen. Sister McGinnis, you guys, y'all come on up. Martha, we need all the women. When we have a prayer request, you guys respond. Y'all get up. Get up and respond. What are you doing sitting there? If it was you having a hysterectomy, you'd want somebody praying for you, wouldn't you? Amen. Somebody said, I already had one. I don't want to go there. Amen. I know some cannot physically make it, and I understand that, but if you can, when we have these altar calls, when we have prayer requests, let's respond as a church. Somebody say amen. When somebody comes to the altar, don't wait for me to say, hey, we need the ministry team up here. You guys just get out of your seat and come and pray with them. There's nothing like having people praying with you. Amen, and supporting you. Praise God. Okay, Donna, would you please pray?
Lord, we come before you and we bring Heather before you, God, and we ask you, God, to move, God, upon her, Jesus, God. We know that you are the great physician, God, and we ask you to touch, God, and move upon her body, God, and as she goes through this surgery, God, I ask you that you guide the surgeons and the anesthesiologists and all the nursing staff, God, their hands, God, and give them wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Let it be a beautiful surgery as beautiful can be, God, and with no issues and no problems, no complications, no setbacks, God, that she would have a quick and speedy recovery, that the doctors and all would be amazed at how speedily and quickly she recovered and healed, God, and we give you glory and honor in advance, and we praise you and thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name, amen.
While you're here, stay here, ladies, if you would. Tara's daughter, Allison's in the hospital. She's going into the second week, or maybe third week, I guess. Her diabetes is completely out of control. Things going on with her there, and they are having trouble. She won't eat, and we're putting a can't eat, throws up everything she eats. So we need to be praying that she will start eating. Let me read this real quick. This is what we need. Scripture we are standing on for Allison. The Lord blesses my food and my water, and he removes sickness from the midst of me. Exodus 23:25. Hey, we're in the midst of the celebration of the tabernacle. That's one of the blessings, removing sickness from the midst. Amen. The food blesses Allison, and in Jesus' name, she will be fine. Amen. Somebody say amen to that. So let's pray for that.
Father God, we just lift up Tara. We lift up Allison to you, God. She is yours. Lord Jesus, I know that you're there with her, that your hands are upon her. And Father, I ask that she respond to you most of all, Father, that the spiritual battle as of right now is over in the name of Jesus. Yes. That, Father God, her body will receive the nutrition that is needed, that the diabetes line out in the name of Jesus. Father, that she will be able to go home and rest and recoup happy and healthy, Father. And Lord, I lift up Tara and Tommy, Lord. As they stand next to her, Father, I ask for you to give them strength when I know they're tired. Help them, Father, have the words to say to her, God, to stand firm in their faith and knowing you are God and you've got this under control. And we lift this up to you. We lay it at the altar right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. We fully expect miracles. Somebody say we expect miracles. Before this day is over, she's going to be eating. What we need? Okay. On her brain. Is it? She's going to have a CT scan tomorrow. Can you just reach your hand this way for her? Amen. Father, right now we are asking, Lord, as she goes through this procedure tomorrow, the CT scan, we need a negative report from the doctors on this, Father. We need a negative report. You know what's going on with Felicity. And God, we just give her to you. We trust you, Lord, with her. God, she loves you. She serves you, Father. And God, just honor her servanthood, Father. God, heal her body. God, honor her faith this morning in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all are quiet. Turn to somebody and laugh. Don't laugh at them. Just laugh. Amen. Amen. Huh? I said, praise God. Brother Ricky, would you ask a blessing on over the message this morning? Man, don't forget we have church tonight. God's just been speaking to my heart. He's going to do something different tonight. I don't know what. Just come prepared. Come prepared. Amen. Come expecting the unexpected tonight. Amen. You know, when you really love your church family as I do, and I love you guys so much, and I know our ministers love you, you really start to pick up the burden of the people. And I'm going to try my best to preach without crying a lot this morning. But I feel that crying spirit. Felt it yesterday when Raven and Caleb was getting married. They're right at the end. It just hit me like, oh, wow. You know, when you hurt, I hurt. Believe me. When you can't pay a bill, I try my best. This church tries their best to see what we can do to help. Sometimes we can. Sometimes we can't because we have bills we got to pay too. When you're going through trials at work, things not going well, I feel you. I understand. When family crisis arises, I am concerned always. My goal as your pastor is to see you go forward in life and spiritually. My goal as your pastor is to see you succeed in life. My goal as your pastor is to give you the tools that equip you to fulfill your destiny or the calling God has on your life. I could preach a message that I feel is worthy of recording and repeating, and at the end of the day, I still see people hurting or even unsure of where they are spiritually, and that grieves me. Many turn the answer away when they're hurting, and I give them an answer, they turn it away. And that grieves me. When you see people turn away from God that once knew God, it grieves me. And it should grieve every one of you. You know, it's not how we start out this thing, and some of you really start out strong, but it's how we finish. Paul said, I've fought a good fight and I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. I've finished the race. And therefore, laid up for me is a crown of righteousness. Amen. Let me kill this phone. I forgot to turn it off during the wedding yesterday and I had to turn around and act like I was picking up a flower or something. I was picking up a flower, but it didn't have to be picked up. Anyway. But Paul said, I finished the course. The original church started out with a bang in Jerusalem, with power and authority. And Jesus is coming back after a church full of power and authority. Doesn't matter how we start out, how are we going to finish this thing? Are we barely going to scrape our way into heaven? Are we going to march in boldly, blowing a shofar shouting? Somebody say amen. It's not how we start, but it's how we finish. Before the things that happened this week transpired, God had given me this message. And then I thought, well, should I preach it or should I not? And I called Brother Rick Clendenin and talked to him about everything that was going on and what had happened this week. And he said, definitely preach it. He's praying for this church this morning. He knows we're hurting. Mike Rambo is praying for this church this morning. Where he's at, he's preaching in Dawson today, but they're praying for us because they know we're hurting. Amen. So you're covered. This church body is covered today. Somebody say amen. That's why in the midst of trials and tragedies, a while ago, you can feel the presence of God. That's why in the midst of all that's gone on, you can feel the presence of God. because we entered into a place, amen, and we're covered not only by the blood of Jesus, but by other people covering us and praying for us. Somebody say amen. I need to speak to you about something that's really serious that's happening. I need to speak to you today about depression. And I want you to really pay attention and hang with me today, okay? Because I just want to teach, I want to talk to you. Let me first say this. Depression just doesn't jump on you. It is a spirit, but it just doesn't happen. Depression starts with unrealistic expectations. I said depression starts with unrealistic expectations. Let me just say, Christmas is coming on. How many have tried to mimic the Hallmark scene and have the perfect Christmas only to be disappointed? Unrealistic expectations. People think, well, it's got to be just like this, or Thanksgiving's coming on, we got to have the perfect family gathering, and it falls apart, and it's not what we thought it was going to be, and at the end of the day, we are miserable. I want to tell you right now, I'm getting better. Donna is training me a lot more. I'm getting better. I'm not as traditionalist as I used to be, but I used to be so traditionalist on Thanksgiving morning when they had the Macy's Day Thanksgiving parade. If I didn't sit down and have a cup of coffee and watch that parade and see Santa Claus coming down the road, I was messed up the whole day. I still watch it, but I don't have to watch it. I'm learning. I can skip it. Plus, I can DVR it. So, anyway. So, but I used to be, I had all these expectations of when Candace was growing up, and I wanted her sitting in there with me watching, here comes Santa Claus, wave at him, wave at him. Now I get to do it with Ellie, so I'll start it all over again. Y'all just chill out. And Avery. But I remember that. And when she wasn't downstairs and I was yelling, somebody get Candace, get down here. And Donna was having a fit. Would you chill out? But you don't understand. Santa's coming. Unrealistic expectations. And when it didn't go like I thought it would go, I thought we blew it this year. And all of a sudden, I started getting depressed because we didn't have that moment. How many knows what I'm talking about? Unrealistic expectations concerning your child. Well, my child is going to grow up to be president. Well, quit putting expectations on your child that they can't fulfill. The greatest baseball player in the world, going pro in basketball. Christopher's going to be going pro one day. He says he is anyway, I don't know. But unrealistic expectations. Your child's not performing like you thought they would perform. They're not acting like you thought they would act. Therefore, depression sets in. My child's out of control. I want this in my life for it to be a success. I've got to have this type of house. I've got to have this type of vehicle. Don't matter how much I go in debt for it, I got to have it. But you get it, and what happens? You still don't feel good. Unrealistic expectations. That new vehicle is not going to make you feel that good, especially when you write that first payment. Amen? Now, I'm still waiting for somebody to give me that brand new Ford F-150 with no payment, and I will give a happy dance, I promise. One that I could drive. Let me just make sure. One that I can drive, because Diane gave me a little model one. I don't want that. I got that. It's on my shelf. You take a Chevy, we'll go down the road together, huh? You want mine? It ain't a Chevy, it's a GMC. Don't confuse the two, man. I'm telling you, there's a difference between GMC and Chevy. Let's talk a minute. Don't you degrade my truck. Okay. For all you Chevy lovers. Amen. We get disillusioned. We come with unrealistic expectations of if we make enough money, we're going to be happy. And when we don't make that amount of money, or when we do get that money, we're still not happy. unrealistic expectations leads to disappointments. Everybody say disappointments. And it leads to being disillusioned, believing something that's not there or should have been there, but it didn't happen. That leads to discouragement. Everybody say discouragement. Then you become discouraged. And the next thing that happens is it leads to depression. So you see what started out as one thought, an unrealistic expectation, all of a sudden now we're into depression. And when you get depressed, you stop eating. You don't want to get out of bed. You stop doing anything worthwhile. You don't want to function. You feel inadequate. You feel guilty. So many things come on you. Has anybody been there before? Has anybody ever felt that depression? What happens after depression is destruction. And this is where we got to get to today. We've got to get to a place to where we can take the mask off and say, I'm hurting. Somebody say amen. Because depression will lead to destruction. Destruction is a total meltdown, a nervous breakdown, sometimes suicide. Somebody say amen. Say, well, we don't need to talk about that today. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. God gave me this message before this week. What we have done in the church is we have learned how to have church. We'd put on a good front. We've learned how to act right. How you doing, man? Pretty good. See that? We learned how to say, I'm fine. I'm pretty good. He is good because he married his daughter yesterday. He didn't marry. I mean, he married. He did the ceremony. I know it's Kentucky. He didn't marry his daughter. So he did the ceremony, the first one that you've ever done. It was his daughter's ceremony yesterday. Isn't that cool? And they're married. Did you tell him he could kiss at the end?
I held off for a second.
But we learn how to shake hands and say, how are you? I'm good. I'm fine. When we're hurting inside. We've learned how to put on a good front. And I don't want to confuse you, because when you're feeling bad, you shouldn't walk around with your lip dragging the ground and making everybody feel sorry for you. But it comes a time when you need to be honest with somebody. I'm hurting. I had to call some pastors this weekend and tell them I'm struggling. Take the mask off. I'm not super pastor. I'm not super Christian. Super husband. Ricky just shakes his head, man. Get me out. But we put on this front, and we need to be honest with each other. Because when we're not honest with each other, we can't help each other. And that's where we're at this week. Because when you don't know somebody's hurting as bad as they're hurting, you tend just to do your own thing, take care of your life. But if Jeff was to come to me and say, Pastor, I'm hurting today. I need you. You know what I'd do? I'd be there for him. And walk him through what we need to walk through. I asked a question in the youth group Wednesday night. We've been dealing with suicide the last couple of weeks. God's just been preparing us. And I asked the question to the youth group. I said, how many have had that thought? And nobody was looking. Their heads were bowed. And no doubt if I ask that question here this morning, and I may before the service is over, there will be hands go up. When you have a thought like that, you need to talk to somebody. Can somebody say amen? Taking the mask off. I told the story to the youth group, and of course they went and blabbed it everywhere. But I told the story when I was dating Donna and she broke up with me. I was contemplating suicide. I was driving down the road and there was a tree and I was going to hit it. I'm going to drive right into it. I was just so upset. I mean, she glories over this. Her head gets so big when I say this story. Anyway, but I was going to do it, and I kept getting closer and closer to that tree, and I finally swerved and didn't do it. But I went straight to my church at the Lighthouse, and we was having a crusade that week with Dave and the Giants. It was a contemporary gospel band. Their drummer was Little Ricky off of I Love Lucy. I don't know if you ever watch I Love Lucy and you see Little Ricky. That was their drummer. So he was, and it's a great band and great people. So I went to them, and they were there at the church, and we had this place up in the top over the gymnasium called the Upper Room. Well, it actually had an auditorium up there, and then we had two rooms off each side. One was a costume room, and one was the Upper Room prayer room. We called it the Upper Room. And they said, "Come on, brother, we need to go up to the Upper Room." I said, "All right, let's go pray." And I told them how distraught I was, and we went up there. Out of that prayer session, they wrote a song called The Upper Room Experience. It became one of their national hits. Had I went ahead and hit that tree, that song would never have been wrote. You know, God takes care of us. But I was hurting. But had I not gone to them and told them I was hurting and took the mask off, what would have happened? I wouldn't be standing here today. Somebody say we need to be honest. You need to say when you're hurting. You need to say when you don't feel good, when you're struggling. When God has left you, when you feel like you're all alone, and He really hasn't, you just feel like you're on a merry-go-round, you can't get off. You don't feel like getting out of bed, you don't want to eat, you don't want anyone, you don't want to talk to anybody. Can I tell you, that is called depression. And we need to deal with it. Can I say this to you? God does not want you to be like this. God wants you to be free. See, God wants you to be free. Sometimes if you are depressed, you can talk to counselors. And sometimes good Christian counselors help. Sometimes you can take medicine. And sometimes medicine helps. But if you don't deal with the problem, it will come back. Amen? Or you'll be on medicine the rest of your life. Or you'll be paying a big counselor bill the rest of your life. How many of you have ever gone to see a counselor? Raise your hand. Come on, be honest. Did you go for free? No, you had to pay something. How many of you ever talked to a pastor before? Raise your hand. Did you talk for free? We need to talk about this. We'll go to counselors and pay a big fee. God is just saying, come to me. Amen? Praise God. You must identify what is the cause of that depression. What is the cause? As Barney Fife would say on Andy Griffith, nip it in the bud. Nip it, just nip it. Anybody ever seen that episode? Nip it. If you don't get set free, something will trigger you, and you may have it pushed back, but it will surface, and it'll be like a time bomb, and it will blow up. Have you ever just blown up on somebody before? Have you ever had somebody blow up on you before? They weren't dealing with something they should have dealt with. Listen, Jesus did not die on the cross. He did not rise again, and He is not coming back for a powerless church. He didn't do all of that for us to be trapped in guilt and trapped in depression. He did that so we could go free. Depression will cause you to feel you're not good enough. Has anybody ever felt that you're just not good enough? You can't do enough. You can't pray enough. You can't read the Bible enough. So you give up. And then hopelessness enters. Some of you are definitely able to identify with me this morning. There are people sitting here this morning hurting and feeling like this on the inside. Listen, this is a tool or a device the enemy uses to keep us from being who we're supposed to be. Depression will steal your life. Depression will steal your joy. It will cause you to take your life and possibly take somebody else's life. Depression is a bad spirit. It will manifest itself as a result of negative things in your mind. This is a trick of the devil. Somebody say amen. Can I tell you, you're not alone if you feel distressed? Has anybody ever felt that before? Distressed, been Come on, be honest with me. Have you felt distressed this week? I have. Have you felt distressed on the way to church today? Let's read some scriptures this morning. Psalm 4 and 1, Brother Rodney. You're not alone in feeling distressed. This is David, man after God's own heart. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in what? Distress. Have mercy on me. Hear my prayer. Psalm 18 and 6. In my what? Distress. What did he do? Called upon the Lord and cried unto God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even unto his ears. Psalm 118 and 5. I called upon the Lord in what? Thank you, Steve. Steve's the only one listening. I called upon the Lord in. Well, Keith and Steve's listening, and Jeff. Okay. Wake up. I called upon the Lord in distress, and the Lord, what'd he do? He answered me and set me in a large place. Amen. Psalm 120 and 1. In my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. David was distressed, but he was a man after God's own heart. So if he was distressed, it's not strange that we can get distressed. Somebody say amen. Philippians 4 and 6 says this. Be careful for nothing, or be anxious, what it means, for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made unto God. We get too worried. We get too anxious about what's going to happen tomorrow. Unrealistic expectations of what's going to take place tomorrow will end up putting us in depression when it doesn't happen. Quit being anxious about tomorrow. Somebody say, quit being anxious. Worry does not change anything. Worry does not change the past. Worry does not change the future. Worry steals your right now. Say, worry steals your right now. It makes your life miserable today. Well, I'm worried about tomorrow. How am I going to pay this bill? Quit worrying. Enjoy today. In dealing with the tragedies we've dealt with this week, they said, well, what are we going to do tomorrow? What are we going to do? I said, quit worrying about tomorrow. Quit worrying about next week. Let's get through this next moment. Quit worrying. That's easier said than done. No, I've been there. I'm with you. I have things to worry about too, but I choose not to worry. Sometimes I have to be straightened out by my wife because I do worry sometimes. We all fall into that, but we need to quit it. Everybody says quit it. Turn to somebody and say quit it. God did not create you to worry. You were not made to worry. Worry does not bring glory to God. Worry does not bring glory to God. John 10 and 10 says this. You know what it says. The thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy you. What did Jesus say he came for? To give you life and to give you what? Life more abundantly. Proverbs 23 and 7. What causes us to be depressed sometimes? For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. As he thinketh in his heart, whatever you're thinking in your heart is how you're going to feel. Somebody say amen. It's depressing thoughts that gives depression a place to live. So if we think depressing thoughts, we're giving a house to depression. As we think in our heart. You may see people all fixed up, cleaned up, smelling good, with a mask on. You say, how you doing? They say, I'm fine. But you really don't know what's going on inside them. They're really ready to jump off a bridge. Listen to me. Untreated depression leads to suicide. Untreated depression will lead to suicide. Thoughts of negativity produces depression. And if we don't deal with that depression, it can lead to suicide. And we are seeing an epidemic of suicides. That's why God led me to teach the young people the other night. Teen suicides are rising. A friend of ours had two friends in McLean County. Their daughter was really upset because a child in Muhlenberg County and a child in McLean County in the last 6 weeks have taken their lives. You don't hear about that because they don't publicize it. They don't put it in the news. Talk to our coroner. He'll tell you how many suicides are in Hopkins County yearly. It will blow your mind. So Somebody say amen. 1 Peter 5 and 7 gives us a recipe of what we should be doing. 1 Peter 5 and 7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. When you identify what's causing this depression, we need to cast our cares upon God because he cares for us. It's our recipe to get past this depression. It's our prescription that we must use to get past depression. Depressed about a job, cast your care upon God. Depressed about your relationship, cast your care upon God. You're depressed about long-term sickness, cast your care upon God. Overwhelmed with life, cast your care upon God. Depression will come on the rich, it will come on the poor, it will come on a man, woman, boy, or girl. There is no respecter of person. If you allow it, if you get placed to it, you can be depressed. Casting all your cares on him once and for all, realize God cares about you. He knows where you're at. Talk to him. Talk to him. You can't talk to anybody else. You talk to God. God wants you to come to him. Talking to people, it helps you. But you've got to talk to God. Somebody say amen. Need to change your thinking. Think happy thoughts. If you think happy thoughts, you're going to be what? Happy, happy, happy. Think good thoughts, you're going to be what? And good. You think fearful thoughts, what's going to happen? Fear is going to come on you. You think depressing thoughts, what are you going to be? Depressed. Let's get real this morning. We look to everything else but God when we are depressed. I don't understand. Instead of coming to God, we run from God. Instead of coming to God, we run from God. We need to cast our cares on God instead of seeking everything else. I talk to people all the time and they say, well, I'm just depressed. I'm going through this. Well, you need to come to church. Well, I will when I get my act together. I just need some time. That's one of the big ones. I just need some time. Time from what? Time from God? I just need a break. God says, bring your cares to me. I'll take care of you. And you're sitting out there trying to figure it out. Well, I need to go have some fun. I mean, I've heard every one of these. I'll be back to church when everything settles down. I get it all worked out. I have heard people tell me these things. That's their excuse. When all the time God is saying, if you'll bring it to me, I'll take care of it. Amen. You won't seek God. You spend all your money and follow the prescription you'll go out and spend a bunch of money on medicine. If it says take it once a day, what do? If it says take it three times a day, what do? I've got to take my medicine. I've got to take my medicine. Some of you don't have good insurance on medicine. You pay a lot of money for medicine. Anybody with me? Some people don't have to pay anything for medicine, so you get it. You'll take that medicine when it says take it. God has given us a prescription. He's saying, take the medicine. How many times a day? As much as you can. You cannot overdose on it. I said, you cannot overdose on it. And it's paid for. No copayment. That's good. Y'all can preach it. Y'all just keep on. Amen. We have a prescription to get past our depression. We must start turning to the Word of God. And quit trying to replace God with earthly things. Cast your cares, your concerns, your worries, your anxiety on God. When you don't, you are like a bomb ready to blow up. Well, I just need to sleep. I just need to rest. Rest in the Lord. Come and sleep in church. Some of you do that already. No, I didn't say that. Amen. I'm just giving you a warning right now. We're going to keep the shofar handy, and when somebody falls asleep, we're going to blow it right in your ear. Is that cool? Amen. Matthew 12 and 39. This is what's happening. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. There shall be no sign given to them but the sign of prophet Jonah. And that's talking about the resurrection and the cross. But it's talking about an evil and adulterous generation. What does that mean? That means that we're finding another lover other than Jesus. We're putting things ahead of Jesus. Amen. Nothing satisfies or completes or will fulfill us like Jesus will. A new car won't do it. A new house won't do it. New clothes won't do it. A new man or new woman won't do it. Amen. Matthew 16 and 4. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. Again, go to Mark 8 and 38. Wherefore, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed. If you're ashamed of God, if we put everything else ahead of God, guess what God is saying? If you're ashamed of me, I'm going to be ashamed of you. How many doesn't want God to be ashamed of you? When you first got saved, God was first in your life. What happened? I'll tell you what happened. Let me ask you this. What are you looking at? What are you watching? What are you listening to? Who are you listening to? Let me tell you, if you watch The Bachelor or The Bachelorette, you'll never measure up. Women, if you're watching, you're not going to measure up. Men, you're not going to measure up. Steve's going to be on the next episode. I guess the ratings may go down, brother. I'm just telling you. I just want to warn you now. It is what it is. You're not. Thank you, Jake. But come here. Come here. Come here. What happened to you 3 weeks ago?
I got saved.
Nailed it down for good.
Yep.
You know.
Yep.
Beyond a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah.
If you're going, you're going to heaven, right?
Amen, brother.
You going to preach? Here. Amen. So, well, I thought he was already saved. You know, there's a lot of people sitting in seats every day in church that are not saved. They go through the motions. They think they're doing good, and all of a sudden God really gets a hold of them and convicts them and say, you know what, you really haven't given your heart to me. And that's what happened with Jacob. Amen. Somebody say amen. Praise God. So quit worrying about trying to measure up because it's unrealistic expectations and you're going to be what? Depressed. I'm going to give you three steps and I'm getting ready to close in just a moment. We're going to do a communion. Three steps in combating depression. Number one, we must read the Word of God. The second step, we must surround yourself with positive people. Quit hanging out with negative people. When you're feeling bad, don't call somebody that's having a bad day because you're going to have a worse day. Call somebody that's better. Call somebody that's on fire for God. Call somebody that's exciting. And you can tell after about the first few words how exciting they are. Say, well, I need to go. Hang up. It don't take long. How are you doing today? Well, I'm good. But bye. I'll talk to you later. Get around some positive people. And number three, you must have the Spirit of God working in your life. So you must pray. Read the Word, get around positive people, and pray. Somebody say amen. Amen. Praise God. And I tell you, 1 Corinthians 10 and 13 says, there is no temptation given unto man that he doesn't provide a way out. So no matter what you're going through, he will provide an escape route for you. Amen. Start thinking positive thoughts each day, a new day. Live every day excited. Somebody say, live every day excited. Don't wait till Christmas. Get excited now. Enjoy life every day. Joyce Myers has a book Donna's gotten. I picked it up the other day. It's really good. It's a book called Everywhere You Are, No, enjoy where you are on the way to where you're going. Enjoy where you are right now on the way to where you're going. Enjoy every day. Get excited about every day. Somebody say amen. Jason, pull up. I know Rodney had to go. Hebrews 13 and 5 for me. Hebrews 13 and 5. Hebrews 13 and 5. Amen. Come on, I was on a roll. Gotta go. I was doing good. Where'd Rodney go? No bathroom breaks. We can't do that in church. Come on. Hebrews 13 and 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Quit worrying about what somebody else has. Amen. Quit worrying and quit trying to measure up. We drove through a College Drive yesterday out there. We had to pick up some stuff from somebody, and I was looking at all them houses, and I started getting the covenant spirit on me. I thought, man, look at these houses. I would love to have one of these houses out here. They're big and beautiful, and yards immaculate, just perfect. And I'm going, wow. But you know what? Right now, for me today, that's an unrealistic expectation. I did not allow myself to get depressed when I pulled up 139 Celeste Lane. I promise you. Amen. I praise God for what God has given us. So we've got to be content. Quit being covetous. Quit reaching out to things we can't obtain. And then we've got to be courageous and be bold about some things. Joshua 1, 5 through 8. And I'm finishing up right here. Joshua 1, 5 through 8. Talking about how do we get past depression. Can I tell you, Moses, when he died, you think the people, the children of Israel and Joshua, don't you think they were probably depressed? Their leader had died. Joshua was taking over. Moses said, I'm giving the reins to you. And when Moses died, God said, Joshua, Moses has died. It's up to you to lead these people. There should not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life as I was with Moses. God says, as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee, Joshua. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Can I tell you this morning, God is wanting you to be free, and he will not fail you. He will not forsake you. Amen? That's the God we serve. But we got to take the mask off. Joshua 1 and 6, he said, told Joshua, he said, be strong and of good courage, for unto the people shalt thou divide for an inheritance of the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. He was saying, Joshua, you're going to see the completed process. Moses didn't get to see it, but you're going to lead my people. Be strong, good courage. For this the people shalt thou divide an inheritance of the land which I swear to give the fathers to them. Verse 7. Only be thou strong. Everybody say, be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. What is God saying? Get a hold of this thing today. Don't be flaky. Don't turn to the right. Don't turn to the left. Stay with me. It's what God is saying. All kinds of things out there to get our attention, to get you, or to try to get you past depression. But God is saying, if you allow me, stay with me. Don't turn to the right. Don't turn to the left. I'm going to get you through this. Cast your cares on me because I care for you. Amen. Verse 8. The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. This word, we've got to get it in our system. We've got to get it in our spirit. The book cannot depart from us. This word cannot depart from us. This is truth. This is life. Thou shalt meditate. Meditate. Everybody say meditate. Think about it. Read the word of God. Listen to it in your car or your truck. Get the word of God in your spirit. Therein day in and day out that they mayest observe and do according to all that is written. How do you know what's written? How you're supposed to act? What God will do for you if you never read the word? How do you know? You meditate on it. You read it. You meditate on it. How does Jeff? Jeff has got a great memory. Better than mine. I have trouble remembering verses. But Jeff can get up here and rattle off some verse. And I'm going, really? I wish I could do that. God will allow me one day to be able to do it. He has a great memory because he gets in the word. He meditates on it. He listens to it. Amen. And then he speaks it out. It's something about when you speak something out, you hear yourself talking it, you'll remember it. Amen? Or you write something down. Amen. So we must, to get past depression, we must get in the Word of God. Amen? Say, get in the Word of God. Amen. If you're depressed here this morning, we're getting ready to pray that depression off of you. Somebody say amen. And I think some of you, it's already leaving you because, hey, a light bulb has just gone off in your head. This is what I need to do. I've been trying to handle it this way. I need to quit trying to do that. I need to get in the Word of God. I need to get back with God. If we can, get a couple of people to bring the communion table over to the center. Amen. Praise God. Jason, or Rodney, I've got the communion song pulled up back there. Get ready for that. Amen. I'm asking Felicity to come up and help. Where's Isaac going? He's got to help Felicity. Amen. Why are we doing it this morning? Well, first of all, it goes along with how I went in the message. But secondly, Felicity begged and begged, can we, because they won't be able to be here tonight. We were going to do it tonight, but they have to be at a service with her stepdad being inducted to be pastor of a church in Cadiz. Awesome. Amen. Amen. So they're going to be with them. So Felicity said, can we please do communion? Can we please do communion? Nobody in this church gets excited about communion like Felicity Dunlap. She did threaten me, I'll never give you another hug in my life if you don't do communion. She did say that. Amen. So this morning I want to ask Felicity and Isaac, they're going to help to give this out in a moment. Why are we doing it after a message like this? Can I tell you right now, I want to tell you something. When we take communion, and Brother Cole did an outstanding job. I love the way he did it. You know, many times we just remember the cross and the suffering that Christ went through for us, and we do need to do that. But there's much more that we need to be remembering about Jesus when we take communion. All the miracles he performed. Somebody say amen. All the miracles. But here's the thing. When he went to the cross, he took on that depression that you're feeling. He took it on. And so when we do communion, we're remembering the fact he took that depression for. I don't have to put up with this depression. So when I remember by taking his blood and taking the bread, when I remember, that depression has to leave. It cannot hang out. The only way depression can stay in you is you give them room, give it room to stay. Amen. How many has suffered at one time or another depression? Amen. Hands everywhere. You may be feeling it now, but this morning is your morning to be free of it. Somebody say amen. We're taking the mask off. We're in this 10-day time of repentance of the Feast of Tabernacles. We are taking the mask off. This Wednesday night is the Day of Atonement. We were going to bring everybody in the sanctuary. I don't think we're going to change that. I want you to do it in your classrooms. I want you to take a time of prayer in your classrooms. We're going to do it in here because we still need to discuss some things that we didn't get to last week. So I need to finish that. So we'll do that this Wednesday night. Stay in your classroom on Day of Atonement. If you want to do communion in your classroom, feel free to do it. We'll have grape juice back there. Just you got to come and prepare for your classroom, though. I'm not going to have somebody do it for you. You do it for your own classroom. You don't have to do it. If you want to do it, it'd be awesome. But this Wednesday is what the Day of Atonement. So we're in this 10-day of repentance. We need to repent for even giving room for depression. Just repent of it. Repent of the fact that we are not had to acknowledge that God does want to take this from us. God, I'm sorry. I didn't realize it. I mean, I did realize it, but I haven't been giving it to you like I should. We've got to take the mask off and repent. And we're in this time of repentance. Amen. This morning, as we remember Jesus and remember what he did for us, let's remember he took depression from us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Is that cool? Stand to your feet if you would, Brother Rodney. If one of y'all stand over here with the bread, listen. Okay. We're going to ask everybody. We're just going to do it around this way instead of trying to do it two different ways. Come to your left, or my left, and come through and get the bread, and then come and get the juice, and then go back to your seat if you would. Go ahead. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body." You may take the bread. And he took the cup, he gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink, ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." You may take the cup. I ask Donna to pray.
Lord, we thank you, Jesus, God, for going to Calvary, God, and for being wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. And you bore the peace, our peace, God, upon your shoulders, and by your stripes, God, we are healed. You went to Calvary and paid the full price, God, that we may be complete, God, in you, God, that we can walk, God, a victorious life, God, and walk and live in the abundant life, God, and that we can just be victorious people here on earth, God, and that we can have a heaven here on earth, God, because you paid the price, God, for us, God. And we thank you, God, for the sacrifice you made, God, and for helping us, God, to just be, God, complete in you, God. And we thank you and give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Brother Ricky, can y'all collect the cups real quick? Amen. Amen. Every head bowed and every eye closed just for a moment. Say, "Pastor Gary, I'm ready to take the mask off. I need prayer." We're not going to ask you to run to the altar unless you want to today, but I just need you to raise your hand and say, "Pastor, would you pray for me? I've been battling depression. I want to take the mask off today. I want help." Would you just raise your hand and say, "That's me"? Yes, God sees those hands. Don't be bashful about it. Yes, Father. Lord, you see the hands that have been raised. And God, right now we just speak peace to them. We speak freedom of this depression, Lord, over them. We thank you, Father, that you went to the cross for us, Father, that when you died for us, you took depression on, just like you took every sin of the world. You took depression on, that spirit. And Father, you want us to be free. So this morning we speak freedom to those that have raised their hand. We come against this depression in Jesus' name. We break every generational curse in Jesus' name. And we claim freedom. We proclaim it. We proclaim we're leaving here different than we came in this morning, Father. We have given everything to you. You said, "Cast your cares on me," and you would love us and you would care for us. That you care for us, Father. This morning, God, these hands are raised saying, "God, I'm willing to cast this on you. You said you would take it from me, so take it in Jesus' name." And everybody shouts, "Amen." Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. How many believe that? Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. You say, "Yeah, but we didn't come up to the and you didn't lay hands on me and shake it out of me." No, I didn't have to do that this morning. God said, "When you raised your hand, you were showing I have faith in you, God. I'm casting my care on you." Amen. So when depression starts to come back on you or tries to come back on you, you remember all you had to do this morning was say, "God, I'm here. I'm casting it on you." Amen. See, we think somebody's got to get it out of us all the time. No, you need to proclaim it for yourself. Somebody say amen. And I believe you did. Amen. If you felt like you've been refreshed, if you feel like you're free of depression, shout amen with me. Amen. All right. Praise God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Be praying for all the requests that we had this morning. Don't stop lifting these families up this week. It's going to be a tough week for them. But how many knows that God can come in the midst of this? And as tragic as the situation is, as tragic as it has been, God said he would take anything. He said he didn't give any specifics. He said, "I will take it and turn it around. I will take it and turn it around. Good's going to come out of this tragedy." I know it's hard to see right now, and it's hard to feel that, but good is going to come out of this tragedy. In Jesus' name. Amen. Grab somebody's hand close to you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Brother Randall, would you come and dismiss us this morning? Don't forget church tonight. You need a ride. Make sure you tell your bus driver that they will pick you up. Amen. 6 o'clock.
Heavenly Father, we'd just like to thank you once again for being able to be in your house of worship. But most of all, we would like to thank you for going to that cross so that we don't have to bear the burden of depression or any other spirit that could get on us. We just know that we need to turn to you and trust in you, and we just ask for your strength and your guidance. In Jesus' name, amen.